Appreciate you listening this evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Every week we try to basically teach the truth of God's Word. A lot of people say that, but most don't seem to recognize the fact that two different teachings that contradict each other can't be the truth. They go on the assumption that even though all of these different denominations teach different things, that they're all right. We've repeated this over and over, but 2 + 2 can't equal 4 and 5 at the same time. What God says in His Word is the truth. The Bible says in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So only the truth will make us free from sin. False religious teaching won't do it. When all these different churches teach different things, they can't all be right. They're teaching different things. It can't be true, for example, that sprinkling will suffice for baptism and you have to be immersed for baptism. Some churches teach you have to immerse. Some say sprinkling will suffice. They both can't be right. Some people say women should not preach from the pulpit. Some say it's okay. They both can't be right. They're teaching different things. You can't have all this teaching and all of them be right when it conflicts with each other. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One question that comes up to me a lot when I emphasize this point, people will say, but how am I supposed to know what the truth is? All of these different teachings confuse me. To them, it's like it's impossible. We have to study God's Word to find out the truth for ourselves. Matthew 15:14 says, "If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." It's our responsibility to study to make sure we're not being led astray by that false teacher. Let's keep in mind the promise that Jesus made in Matthew 7:7-8. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open." God's promise is, if you'll seek, you'll find. We have all these different, quote, versions of the truth out there. What do we do? How do we find which one is the right one? Well, you have to diligently study the Bible. You have to diligently seek the truth. And if you will seek the truth, Matthew 7:7, guarantees that you will find it. The question is, are we seeking the truth? Are we really wanting to find the truth? Or are we just satisfied with the religion of our parents or the religion we already have? Are we willing to listen what God's Word clearly says, and if it contradicts what we already believe, are we willing to change? You know, that applies to me as much as to anybody. If you show me a verse that contradicts what I teach, then I'm obligated to change what I believe and what I teach. It works the same for everybody. Nobody's exempt from this process. We must seek, and if we do, God guarantees we will find. I thought we'd explore that principle tonight on the program. If you have a Bible question or a comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. Call with any Bible question you have. It doesn't have to be on this particular topic. If it is on this topic, that's fine. But any Bible question or comment you would like to make, give us a call. No problem. Here's another verse that reminds me of Matthew 7:7. And that is in John 7:17. In John 7:17, Jesus again is speaking, of course. And he says, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." And so the doctrine of Christ, if you want to know the doctrine, you have to want to do his will. The New King James Version puts it this way: "If any man wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine." And so if you want to know what the truth is, you're going to have to want it. I think a good illustration of that is King Josiah in 2 Kings 22 through chapter 23, verse 25. According to chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 5, he sent doers of the work to repair the Lord's house, the temple. Verse 8, Hilkiah found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Verse 10, Shaphan read it before the king. Verse 11, the king rent his clothes. In verse 13 and some other verses following, he break in pieces the images in the house of the Sodomites. So Israel, Judah, was worshiping idols. They were allowing homosexual sodomites. Josiah, being a young king, probably didn't know any better. But he knew something he should do. Repair some of the places in the temple that were needed fixing. So he sent the workers to do that. When the workers were sent to do that, they found the book of the law. Shaphan read this book of the law before the king, Josiah, and he realized that they had not been following it. Maybe he hadn't been exposed to the book of the law at all before that. I'm not sure. But now he is exposed to it. He rents his clothes, which means he's sorry for what he had done, for what he had been leading Judah into doing. And so, when he found out about this from the book of the law, he tore down the idols and the houses of the sodomites, the homosexuals. This illustrates what I'm talking about. If you want to do God's will, and I mean really want to do it, and you're doing it what you know to be right, then God will make sure that you find out what the truth is. That's what happened with Josiah. He wanted to do what was right. He did what he knew was right. Then God made sure that he found out the rest. You know, the same thing happened with Cornelius in Acts 10. He was a devout man, feared God, but he wasn't saved. Not according to Acts 11, 14-15. So God told him to send for Peter, and Peter would come to him and tell him what he had to do to be saved. And that's what happened. Cornelius was a devout man that feared God, prayed to God. He wasn't saved. And because he had the right attitude, though, God didn't save him in his sin. Instead, God sent to him a preacher to help lead him to the truth. That's what we need to do. We need to want to do God's will and be looking for it. You're out there, and if you're just satisfied with what you already believe, if you're not really searching to find what the real truth is, the truth of God's Word, then you're not going to find it. But if you really want the truth, if you're doing what you know to be right now, and you really want the truth, and you're willing to make a change in what you believe or practice, if somebody can show you how you ought to do that, then God will make sure that you have an opportunity to hear the truth and either accept it or reject it. He's not going to leave you in ignorance. He's going to give you the truth and allow you to accept it or reject it if you're the kind of person that really wants it. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. That's 1-877-655-6755. I'm turning now to Philippians 2 and reading verse 15. The Bible says there, "Let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." So the goal is that we be perfect, meaning complete in our knowledge, complete in the truth. But here Paul says that if in anything ye be otherwise minded, in other words, some aren't going to be to that level. Different Christians are at different levels. Some don't have that experience or that knowledge. They're not to the complete point yet, the perfect point. If anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, God will make sure that you find the truth. You know, Paul was that way. Acts 23, verse 1 says that Paul had lived in all good conscience up until that day, including all of that time before he became a Christian, when he was actually persecuting Christians, putting them to death or at least putting them in prison. He was a Jew, a faithful Jew. He thought Christianity was a false sect, and he persecuted it. Later, when the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and through the preaching of Ananias, he found out better, that was wrong. But he was living in good conscience, even during that time when he was persecuting Christians, because that's what he thought was right. Did God save Paul in his sin just because he was doing what he thought to be right? No. God gave him an opportunity to change. He showed him what was right. He showed him that Jesus was truly the Christ. And sent Ananias to preach to him the truth. And when Ananias did that, Saul changed. He was baptized to get his sins washed away. Acts 22:16. He changed from his previous religion to the true religion. You may be listening tonight and you're in a religion that doesn't really follow the Bible. Maybe you need to make a change like Paul did. Are you willing? Would you be willing to do so? Most people aren't. You have to be willing. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's in verse 32, but John 8:31 says, if you continue in my word, then shall you know the truth. God only guarantees that you'll know the truth if you continue in his word. So you have to continue to his word. That means you have to be studying his word with the intent on learning it to make changes in your life when necessary. Then when you find what you're supposed to be doing, you do it. You're continuing in his word. If you have that attitude with those actions, then the Bible says you shall know the truth. You will know the truth if you have that attitude of searching the scriptures to try to find the truth and changing when you need to, implementing it when you need to. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we must be doing what we know is right for God to guarantee that he will lead us into other truths. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 1-877-655-6755. I'm turning now to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 to start with. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then skipping down to verse 15, an account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. The longsuffering of our Lord is salvation. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. So he's long-suffering. This text really is talking about he puts off the second coming of Christ so that it'll give time for more people to repent so they can be saved. You know, that's another aspect of what we're talking about tonight as far as the assurance of our salvation. How can we be saved when all these people are teaching different things? How do we know which one is the truth? The Lord is going to give you time to find out if you really want to find out. If you're going to be willing to make a change when you do find out, the Lord is going to give you time. That helps us to be confident that we can be saved even though we have all these different churches teaching different things. But that confidence is that we can be saved is only if we're truly searching for the truth will God make sure that we find the truth. We all need to ask ourselves that question. You and I, are we really searching for the truth? Or are we just satisfied in the religion we're in, what they say, what they stand for, and we don't really care, we don't really think that it matters? No, that's not the right attitude. What we need to do is realize that only the Bible is right. And when people teach things that are different from the Bible, they're wrong. And if we go along with what they're teaching, then we're wrong too. The Lord is going to give us time to find the truth if you're a true seeker. Let me illustrate this. I'm going to Luke chapter 23. And you'll probably remember this when Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's talking about the Jews who clamored for his crucifixion. In effect, they are guilty of the crucifixion of Christ because they asked, forced the Romans to crucify Christ. Here's what Jesus said about them on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now think about that. That would take some kind of loving and humble heart to say that. When people are crucifying you, to ask God to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, was Jesus' prayer answered? The answer is yes. These people were forgiven. But were they forgiven right then in their sin, or later when they turned from, when they repented of their sin? They weren't forgiven right then. We read about some of these same people in Acts chapter 2. Peter's preaching to them. We know he's preaching to these same people because in verse 36 he says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." So these are the Jews. Peter's preaching to these Jews that are the ones that clamored for the death of Christ. The ones that Jesus was talking about on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So continuing with Peter's speech in verse 37, he says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Jesus prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Since they were ignorant, Acts 3 says they did it through ignorance, God gave them a chance to learn that they had done wrong. Peter preached to them on the day of Pentecost, "You, that fellow you crucified, he's both Lord and Christ." What do? They turned from their sins. They said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." And 3,000 of them repented and were baptized for the remission of sins. These people that crucified Jesus, they turned. They didn't stay in that false religion of Judaism. They figured out that they were in a false religion, and they changed to God's true religion. So we have all these different churches out there. They can't all be the true, God's true religion. They're different faiths. They believe and teach different things. That's the reason, the very reason they exist. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. We're talking about how a person can be confident that they're going to be saved, that they have the truth, even though there's all these different preachers preaching different things. That confidence doesn't come through God just forgiving us, saving us in our sin. That confidence comes from passages like Matthew 7:7, "Seek and you shall find." If we're a true seeker of God, then God will make sure that we find Him, find the truth, so that we can turn from our sins, so that we can change. The question then comes back to, are we the kind of person that's willing to make that change? If God goes to the trouble to send a preacher so that you can hear the truth, in particular, points of the truth that you have not known or practiced before, but maybe because you're part of a church that doesn't emphasize that, what are you going to do when you hear that truth? It's different than what you believed before. Are you willing to make that change? That's the kind of person that can be confident that they're going to be saved in the end, because they're the kind of person that is willing to make that change. Most aren't. Most will only do what they see the people in the church they're in doing around them. They look at the people in the church they're around, they see what they're doing, and they can't think outside of that box. They can't consider that what the people in the church they're in might not be practicing the truth. And so they aren't willing to consider other points of view. They can't see the truth of the plain meaning of scriptures because their church doesn't teach it that way. If we're that way, we'll never find the truth. We got to be willing to believe and teach and practice what God says, no matter what the other people around us are doing. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, God makes a promise to the Christian. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. You know, that gives me assurance. That gives me confidence that I can find the truth and be saved, even though all these preachers are teaching different things. Because this says I will not be tempted above what I'm able to bear. And every time I'm tempted, God will make a way of escape. 4 points out of this passage. Number one, we all have to face the same temptations. You're not facing anything harder than anybody else. Number two, no temptation will be too hard for us to resist. Number three, we do not have to sin. And number four, with every temptation, God will provide a way out. It's up to us to look for it and to take it. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. At this time, we're going to take a call from Melissa from California. You're on the air, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Now, I had a question about the religion of Jehovah's Witness. Now, I've been a Christian all my life, but I've been studying the Bible with the Jehovah's Witness for the past 3 months now. And it's gotten me a little confused because they're talking about heaven on earth and people are going to come back to life and live on a paradise earth. And what were your thoughts on that?
You know, it just so happens, Melissa, that last week we did a program on the witnesses, the Watchtower Witnesses. Were you listening last week?
Oh, no, I missed last week.
Well, would you like to maybe send me your email address, and I can for last week send you the I can even give you a link where you can listen to last week from the archives. What would you think about that?
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
Now, let me mention a couple things while I have you on the line. The Watchtower people, they are off on a number of things. Like, for example, do you know that they teach that Jesus was really just Michael the Archangel and that he was not deity? Did you know that, Melissa?
Yes, they had mentioned that. That was his war name.
Well, the Bible teaches in places like John 20:28, where Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God," that Jesus is deity. Do you remember John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3? The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." And by the way, according to Revelation, that the Word there is just a name for Jesus Christ. So we're talking about Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was divine, just like God the Father. Melissa,
right.
Send me your email address at BibleCrossfire@email.com, and I'll send you some material. I've got to go off the air, okay?
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
We're going to have to go off the air. I'm sorry we're going to have to cut off Melissa, cut her short. But the time has run out. We appreciate you listening this evening. And we invite you to listen next week at this same time. If you'd like to contact me throughout the week, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. Perhaps we can study the Bible together via the internet, via the email. Or I can send you a Bible correspondence course through the regular mail. Send me your address, your mailing address, at BibleCrossfire@email.com, and I'll put that to you in the mail in the next few days. Be sure to listen next week.